From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. New airstrikes today by forces loyal to Libya's leader Muammar Gaddafi against rebel-held cities, but with neither side gaining the upper hand, there's concern about a prolonged and violent standoff. Some key members of Congress are pressing the Obama administration for a stronger response. GOP Senator John McCain is the ranking Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee. He favors establishing a no-fly zone over Libya.
Their air assets are not large. Air defenses are somewhat antiquated, and this would send a signal to Gaddafi that the president is serious when he says we need for Gaddafi to go.
McCain was on ABC's This Week, but White House Chief of Staff William Daley says enforcing a no-fly zone over Libya would be a daunting task.
Lots of people throw around phrases of no-fly zone, and they talk about it as though it's just a game on a video game or something, and some people who throw that line out have no idea what they're talking about.
Daley was on NBC's Meet the Press. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has bluntly told Libya's foreign minister that Gaddafi's government must cease hostilities against civilians. The UN has appointed a special envoy to Libya. Terry Schultz in Brussels reports a European Union team is already there.
The UN is sending former Jordanian Foreign Minister Abdelila Al-Khatib as a special envoy to Libya for urgent consultations aimed at ending the bloodshed between Gaddafi troops and opposition forces. UN officials will also launch their own investigation into the violence and its disastrous effects on the civilian population. An EU team was the first to arrive over the weekend, with technical experts due to assess the humanitarian situation as well as the safety of European citizens still inside the country. The mission will report back in time for an EU head of state summit Friday, where the 27 leaders are expected to draw up a plan for assistance. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
The unrest in Libya and across the Middle East is fueling a spike in energy costs and gasoline prices. The average price of regular in the U.S. has jumped 33 cents a gallon in just the past 2 weeks. That's the second biggest jump on record. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is in Afghanistan meeting with that country's president, Hamid Karzai, and with U.S. commanders in advance of planned U.S. troop withdrawals. NPR's Corey Flintoff in Kabul reports Gates' visit comes at a time of strained relations with the Afghan government over recent civilian casualties.
Last Tuesday, a NATO airstrike killed 9 little boys in Kunar province, stirring widespread outrage in the country. President Karzai denounced the killings and said that civilian casualties are no longer acceptable and that apologies from NATO commanders are not enough. Gates is expected to meet with General David Petraeus, the top NATO commander in Afghanistan, and begin discussing how many U.S. troops might be withdrawn from the country in July. The U.S. currently has about 100,000 troops in Afghanistan. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Kabul.
This is NPR. A hearing begins today in Delaware to determine the fate of the Tribune Company, one of the oldest media firms in the U.S. The company is likely to end up in the hands of its creditors. Voters in Bell, California, have a chance this week to recall and replace members of the city council who are facing corruption charges. But NPR's Ina Jaffe reports the recall election has stirred up new divisions in the small blue-collar city.
The leading candidates who were once united against the officials charged with looting more than $5 million from Bell are now divided into two camps. One is United for Bell. Their four candidates have been endorsed by the Los Angeles Federation of Labor and the Police Union. Then there's Justice for Bell. Their three candidates received hefty contributions from a retired L.A. businessman who's been derided by the other side as a, quote, crazy Tea Party guy, an affiliation the man denies. One 34-year-old candidate died last Friday. He'd been complaining to friends about the stress of the campaign. Ina Jaffe, NPR News.
The Space Shuttle Discovery is set to undock from the International Space Station this morning. It will be Discovery's final parting from the orbiting outpost as the shuttle wraps up its last flight. Space Station Commander Scott Kelly bade farewell to the Discovery crew before the hatches between the spacecraft were closed.
We're going to miss you, but most of all, we're going to miss Discovery. And Discovery has been a great ship.
Discovery's astronauts installed a new storage unit on the space station, and then they took time to enjoy floating through the tunnel connecting the spacecraft. At one point, Mission Control radioed up, "We hate to ring the recess bell on you." Discovery is set to land for the last time on Wednesday. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.
Support for